Hello. Everyone well, I hope? Good, lots of nice. This is the smiley side, I can see already. So this morning, like I said, it's a little bit more chilled than last week. This morning I'm going to introduce essentially the series we're going to do. I think the series will take us all the way up to Christmas, I would have thought. It's mad that that is not very far away, but it is what it is. So the series is called Follow. There you can see our graphic legend here. Millie has done a nice little design for us. So that is what we're going to be looking at for the next little while. Before I start, just trying to focus my head a bit really. I met with Dave Brown, who's currently heading up Freedom Church on the other side of the city at the moment. We met for a coffee this week, and he's Jeff and Shirley's son, obviously, and Steve's brother, if you didn't know. But it was really nice. He just reached out to me and said, look, it would be nice to grab a coffee. And he didn't really know anything about where we are at the moment or anything like that. So we met and we started to talk. And I'm only saying this, really. I wasn't planning to at all. But it's just amazing in terms of what, you know, we stood here last week and we talked about all the things we talked about and what God is up to and sort of where we are as a church. And on the other side of the city, that same Sunday last week, Dave was there just with incredible, heartbreaking news as part of their congregation, and basically saying again, like, Freedom, we're in a war here. Like, it was almost exactly the same, and it was amazing, and we sort of shared and just talked, and I said to him, you know, I've talked about this, and I've said in the city at the moment, there's just so much going on, and you hear about everything that pours out of churches, and then this week we had Connect Group, and I'm sure it's the same everywhere, and you sit round, there was 10 of us or whatever, sit around a dining room table, and just the opportunity to say, you know, Peter, how are you doing? And people say, yeah, I'm doing all right, but actually this, and this. It's amazing, isn't it? It just all comes out, and we pray for one another, and we gather around him and know his love, and it just is so powerful. But also just, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? What God is doing, how it's being opposed, and just the reality of the lives we're living. So anyway, that's a complete aside. So like I say, the series is going to be called Follow. What I'm going to do, because this is just how I sort of see things, I'm going to read two scriptures to us, and essentially we're going to sort of hang the whole series, they're like our hooks, and we're going to hang the whole series off these two scriptures. So let me read this to us. It's from Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, and I don't know about you, but throughout my sort of Christian life, at certain points, for various seasons and lengths of time, there are certain scriptures that you sort of just live with for a long time, don't you? Or that you often find yourself, you see things through that lens, or whenever someone's speaking, it sort of reminds you of that verse that you've sort of been living with. And these two, for me, I've sort of been here for about 10 years. And these are just two of the ones that I just think, they've just essentially just become such a bedrock of my own life. So here we are. This is Matthew 16:25, Jesus speaking. He says, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Again, it's this sort of topsy-turvy message to the world. You know, I've done that. I've done both sides of that. And I know it to be true now. The sort of, you know, I will pursue what's in here. And Jesus is saying, there's no life if you look in there, but if you lose that bit, you're willing to give up looking in there and essentially my life, and you lose your life for his sake, you follow him, then you will find life. The NLT puts it really well. It talks about, it's either clinging on to that sense of, like, you know, when, like, we ask the kids to, like, share one of their best toys or whatever, and there's like this, like, yeah, sure, but then, like, they don't really want to. And it's a very good way of thinking about it, because that's what we do, even still as Christians. We sort of, there's this, like, yes, Lord, I do this, and, you know, I know that life is found in you, but then there's still this slight bit of clinging on, and Jesus is basically saying, there's no life there. But actually, when you let go of all of that and all of me, then you will find it. And in John 12:24, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And again, now that I'm getting old, and I'm sure people will agree with this, those sorts of verses just mean so much more, don't they? As you walk and you walk with him and with people and through life, and you realize the more and more I die to myself, then actually that's where God comes in and we find life and fruit. And again, his life. The more I decrease, the more he increases. This is the simple point, essentially. And so that's really, like I say, that's what we're going to hang this whole series off, in terms of to follow him and be disciples of him means leaving everything else behind, all of me and all of my rights to myself. So this is actually, we've taken the title Follow from a book by a guy called Floyd McClung. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. I said that to Jeff, and he said, of course, I've met him. You know, so it's good. Of course he has. Sorry, Jeff. But he's a really great guy. As Mike pointed out to me this week, Floyd McClung also sounds like the sort of name you'd give to a policeman if you were pulled over and wanted to make something up. It is an unusual name. But anyway, he's a great guy, man of God. Any of you that know Pete Gregg, we did a load of his stuff. He's sort of Pete Gregg's absolute mentor and hero. I think he died recently, didn't he? But amazing guy. Anyway, so he wrote this book, and as part of this book called Follow, there's loads of brilliant topics in his basically chapter titles, which we're just going to nick, and they're going to be the topics for the series. And obviously all of that will mean diving into scripture, looking into his word, and seeing what it means to follow him and be a disciple. And essentially the book is sort of, you could summarize it by, he is saying, essentially there's two types of people in the world. There's people who have stories and people who don't have stories. And it's the sort of, you know, the invitation to be a bit more of a Peter, to stand up, step out of the boat, potentially sink. But, you know, Peter has a story there, doesn't he? And so it's sort of a bit of a stirring up in that sense. It's a series, hopefully, to get our eyes and our focus continually off ourselves, these verses, and onto Jesus. That's the plan. So that we can lead his life here and now as we follow him. I think as Christians, certainly we wore the bracelets, didn't we? But we spent so long saying, what would Jesus do? I think now we need to start asking, what is Jesus doing now, right now? And then we will follow him right now, rather than, you know, what would Jesus do or have done? So what we need to do is sort of put aside all of our sort of preconceived ideas or just assumptions about, yeah, I know what that means. Even about Jesus himself, as we dive into scripture, Jesus is not safe, sterile, or sanctimonious. He is an untamed, passionate, compassionate Jesus. That's who we see walking on the pages of the New Testament, and that's who walks amongst us. Hopefully, that's who we follow, and it's him we must follow. All followers, seekers of Jesus, must wrestle with three simple yet really profound truths. And you can sort of break them down into these three things. So one is worship, the second is mission, and the third is community. They sound really simple, but those three things will affect every area of your life if you allow them to. Simple yet profound. So worship, to love and obey Jesus with passion and purpose. That's just your way of life as a Christian. Loving Jesus, obeying him with passion and purpose. Sounds good, doesn't it? Worship. Mission is to love those who don't follow Jesus with courage and decency. That's what we're called to as his children. And then community, to love one another, followers of Jesus, with intentionality and transparency. That's why I love midweek connect groups. That's what we do, isn't it? We love each other. We're honest with each other. We're transparent with each other. When we're doing well, we say we're doing well, and we celebrate and we praise God. When we're struggling, we say, I'm struggling. And it's good. And that's how we love one another. And all of us, whether seeker or convinced follower, will agree that if Jesus is indeed God, then to truly follow him is to pattern everything in our lives after him. Back to those verses again. Nothing, everything we do is eyes on him. How did Jesus live? How do we live like Jesus? Floyd McClung himself said of his book, it's not written simply to inspire, but with the conviction that if Jesus is who he said he is, then following him should invade every area of our lives and transform everything about us. It's pretty extreme, isn't it? But that's the point. This is what should happen. That as we come and we forget our life, we lose that. As we die, then every area of the life of God can live in us and transform us as his children as we follow him. So this series is about the foundation on which we build our lives, and which obviously is Jesus, Jesus himself. Following Jesus is not about our leaders or nice doctrinal statements, as nice as they are, or church denominations. It's certainly not about fulfilling, again, think back to our scriptures, anything to do with the me and myself and my inner beauty that the culture we live in would tell us to dive in there and look for. It's nothing to do with that. We'll go through the series with an underlying belief, and Jeff talked about this in his little church series recently, that any hierarchy and all institutionalization of the church will lead us directly away from Jesus himself, not to him. We need to follow him. So we must therefore constantly return to Jesus, Jesus that we find in scripture, Jesus that we know, so we can learn. He is our source, our example for how to live life and how to do church together. So again, that's why I'm saying we sort of need to all come with all of our assumptions, try and put them aside and think, actually, and this is what Jeff did recently, what does church look like actually? What does Jesus intend for us as we follow him? Follow him, not this or that or how they do that model or this or this or this. We must just try and focus our attention on him. So to do that, we must study his life. So we must study the book, the Bible. We have to actually do that. We say these things, don't we? But we have to study his life. We must spend time in his presence. Again, we say these things, and then life comes in, rush, 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 day after day, week after week, and we don't do that. So we must study, we must spend time in his presence, seeking to be filled with his spirit and fulfilling his mission with others, all of us, in community. And this is how we're to experience life as Jesus intended it. That's the plan. So as we follow him, we must understand we cannot franchise Jesus. I think this has happened to a large extent. We can't reduce him to a certain method or model that says, if you do this, Jesus. It just does not work. And so we can't franchise him. And also, we mustn't attempt to be Jesus for other people. If we do, we're on very dangerous ground. I spoke at a conference in the summer, finished, off stage, took all this off, and a guy came up to me and said, thanks, that was great. We had a little chat. He said, I'm in this work situation at the moment, and he explained it to me, and then he literally said to me, so can you tell me what to do? You know, what's the answer? And as a speaker, you just love those moments. You go, oh, absolutely no way. I haven't got a clue, brother, and then just walked off. And he was really disappointed in me, but I love to disappoint in those, because it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to be Jesus to you here. Like, we've had a great talk, but I can't. You've got to go and follow him, haven't you, at work now? It's no good. Don't turn me into God and say, tell me what to do. So I took great delight in just saying, oh, I have no idea. So if you ask me anything after about this, that's what you'll get. It's just an easy out and then dive out the door. But no, we shouldn't do that, obviously, either. So through the series, we will ask, I will ask, all of us will ask hard questions of ourselves, of each other, as we look into this, about what we believe, about how we then apply those beliefs to our everyday lives. So like I say, we'll put aside all our assumptions and consider again what it means to truly follow him in the world that we live in. So this series is about how to be a fully devoted disciple of Jesus. That's what we're after, isn't it? Fully devoted disciples. Not pretending or just some unthinking, captive Christians to sort of some cultural Christianity that we might sort of see, but actually to stop, think, study, find him, follow him. So it's as much about switching our brains on as anything else as we dive into the Bible. It's about the cost of discipleship, again, where I hung all of this off at the beginning. There's real cost there, isn't there, in losing your life. That's quite the cost. And I remember vividly sort of counting that cost myself. It was actually, I don't know, Matt will never remember this, but we were on the Wokingham Road in Reading, it was a little dodgy old road, and at the time Matt said to me, are you a Christian yet or not? Because I'd sort of been like in and out for a long time, and that question actually massively helped me, because I thought, well, I don't know really, you know, and I sort of like fudged an answer to Matt, and he sort of said, get a grip, and I did, essentially. I sort of thought, well, actually, Johnny, yeah, what am I doing? And there's that sense of, I know what it means to become a Christian, and equally, I'm sort of holding these things, and there's a choice there of, well, I'll lose that then, no problem. And that's it. And that's the beauty of living the Jesus way. So that's what we want to hold up. The clear cost of discipleship, those scriptures at the beginning, losing my life, falling into the ground and dying, that's a real cost. But equally then, to lift up alongside that the beauty of living the Jesus way and living like that and finding life in him. So those three basic truths of discipleship that we stated at the beginning, in one way they sound really simple, don't they? We all know them, we can write them out. Worship, love Jesus. Mission, love the world. Community, love one another. How did I end up here? But sounds very simple. But building our lives on these simple yet profound truths goes really deep into us. They may be simple, but they aren't easy, are they? Certainly, I don't find them to be so. They're so approachable and touchable, you can get your head around it. But once you get close to them, you realise they demand, again, go back to our scriptures at the beginning, they demand your whole life. There's not any sense of sort of half-heartedness about it. So simple, yet profound. It can't just be life as usual on your own terms when you come to Jesus and approach him and we hold up these three truths. It just cannot. Nothing that is profoundly true comes without paying a cost. Obviously, the price for Jesus was the cross. The cross cost God his son and Jesus his life. And so if it cost Jesus his life, we can also expect it will cost his followers, as we follow, our lives. Not necessarily physically, but possibly. Unlikely in the UK, but again, not written out. But in some, obviously, historically, and again, in parts of the world, yes, quite possibly cost you your actual physical life. But certainly for us, the right to control our lives just selfishly. Again, which is how I live a large chunk of my life, as people do just in life. So being a devoted follower of Jesus is something bigger than what I believe or how I live. Following Jesus is personal, but it's not private. And again, this is something that's sort of like snaked into a bit of Western culture and thinking and how we sort of do church. Following Jesus is not a private matter. It's not for you to work out on your own, for yourself, by yourself. But I don't know about you, but I meet these people and everything is shut off and it's, oh yeah, I think that, but I'm sort of just in my own little private bubble. And again, I think so much of that is just the culture around us. I was in a meeting with a load of Christians recently and this person said, introducing themselves a bit, and then they said a bit about me. I also think X, Y, and Z about this topic, which is a hot cultural topic. And then they said, but that's just how I feel. That's just my thoughts, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But essentially, it was wrong. You know, I could have just said, well, I know that's how you feel. But again, if you're claiming to submit to scripture and this and this and this, then what you've just said isn't right. So we can't sort of fall into this trap of, that's fine, Peter. What I'm saying is, this is me. This is how I feel. It doesn't work like that. It can't just be my private thing that I'm doing all by myself. You are part of God's people if you follow Jesus. That's just how it is. So we're going to get into this and we're going to follow. And in doing so, you then are part of something that is way bigger than just you, which again is important to realize in the world that we live in. God's people are in this world. You are God's people if you follow him. And God's people are for God and for others. Again, think back to our verses. You are dead. You know, your life is no more in that sense. You find life through him, but you are a follower of God, and God's people are here on the earth for him and for others. And so that is your destiny in that sense. We are part of, as followers of him, a multicultural global community. I love thinking big picture like this. We meet here this morning. There's people meeting all over the country, all over Europe, all over the world meeting, and we're all part of community together, each of us working out a personal, not private, faith in community with others for others. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good, simple. We've just got to do it. And really, this is what I want to do. This is why I'm here. I don't want to mess around. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to not think. I really want to do it. And I want us as a church to find the beauty of this and to find his life as we follow him. So salvation is obviously more than praying private prayer, to Jesus and then just carrying on living for ourselves, but now with a sort of eternal life insurance just thrown in. Again, you sort of recognize that as a general Christian approach. It's like, yeah, you say your little private thing, then you can basically do whatever you want, and when you die, you'll whisk off to heaven somewhere, and that's basically what the gospel can be reduced to, and we're here to say, tosh, that's nonsense, you can't do that. So he came to establish his rule and kingdom on the earth through, and this is always the terrifying bit, you and I. As he lives, as we follow him, he lives on inside of us. Again, as we go back to the beginning, we're happy to lose my life, forget that Johnny that I remember so well, not a problem, lose him, and then found all the things I was looking for in here, found them in him as I let go of that. As we do that, he lives in us. As we die, we see fruit, and he comes and lives through us. So as we follow him, he lives on in us, on this earth, in Chester, in Vicar's Cross, in Newton, in wherever. He lives in us, through us. And through us, he transforms those around us, transforms us, transforms the world that we see as we touch it and introduce people and lives to Jesus. That's the plan. It all sounds so good, doesn't it? I wrote all this and just think, that sounds so good. And then we sit here and we look around the room and we think, guys, now it's us, isn't it? We're doing this. But like I say, that is the plan. That is going to be the series. Follow him. And I want us to sort of just embrace it, get into it. There's loads of really good topics. Like I say, next week we've got Tim coming who's going to speak. But I just want us, like I say, I want us to be devoted disciples of him, following him. Remembering those two scriptures throughout. Johnny, it's not about me. And again, as I follow him, it's not just about me personally following, but we're doing this together. And that is a beautiful thing. So I'm very much looking forward to doing it. I'm not looking forward to how quickly Christmas is going to be here. But hopefully it's going to be a good series. Pray for it. Pray for the speakers. I will probably be speaking more, but I warn you now, and we're going to embrace this again as church, I'm hoping to get lots of different people involved. So you should be sort of semi-nervous now as I look around the room. But again, we're going to just embrace that with the knowledge that, like we read in Corinthians, not all are teachers or preachers or this, not everyone are all these things. But I think it'd be good, potentially, if I can get dates and people to not just think, oh, I know, we'll get him and him and him and him, but actually to look in here and think, who could I ask to maybe share on that, or who would be up for talking on this? So anyway, watch this space and we'll embrace that as church family. I'm going to pray for us. Time is gone. And then, like I say, there'll be tea and coffee around the back. Should we stand and we'll finish? Jesus, thank you. Each one of us is here, Lord, because we heard about you. Lord, we followed after you. Lord, and you changed our lives. Lord, I thank you as I think back to those conversations I had when I was younger and that sort of moment of counting the cost, Lord, that I did what I did and I laid my life down, Lord, to follow you and to live a life devoted to you. I thank you for new life, Lord, for sins forgiven, for being washed clean, Lord, of all the things I couldn't rescue myself from. We are here this morning, Lord, as your followers, your disciples, all here lifting our voices, worshipping, praising you because of what you've done in our lives, Lord. And I pray for these coming weeks and months as we get into this series, talk about it in connect groups, pray together, Lord, that you would be so in it. Lord, Holy Spirit, move in your church. Like Liv shared that lovely picture, may this series be helpful, Lord, assist in you blowing through, Lord, and bringing refreshing and strengthening as we follow hard after you, Jesus. We long for you to be glorified in our lives. Thank you for that picture. Thank you for the gentleness of how you deal with us. I've no doubt in my mind you will use this season, Lord, to give us a drink, Lord, and just show your kindness to us as we seek to follow after you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.